This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of 7 things that I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. On the show today, we have Larry Meyer, and Larry specializes in low-income and Section 8 rentals. I want to find out more about how that works. I don't really know a whole lot about Section 8, so let's get right into it. Larry, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the business?
About 30 years ago, a friend of my brother's said, hey, I've got this new thing we're doing. We're buying houses in the urban core of Kansas City, and we're renting them out through the Section 8 low-income housing program. And my response is, well, that sounds great. What is it? So he gave me an overview of a government program, you know, for low-income housing. Government pays the rents, and said, if you're interested in learning, you know, more about this, I'm renovating a house, and gave me the address. He said, if I'll gladly take you by the hand, show you what you're doing, and in exchange, you're going to help me renovate the house. Great. So I went down, and you know, I had really no skills back then, but I helped, you know, carry, shovel, knock down, you name it. And over the course of a week, working with his crew, he explained, here's how we do this. Here's how you fix houses. Do them, you know, economically, but, you know, here's how they'll pass through the Section 8 program. Here's the type of house. I mean, just soup to nuts. And so when I finished that one house, I basically had enough information to be dangerous and, went out and looking close to that house. I figured I'll just duplicate what he did. And I tried to find a house in that area, which I did. And I made my purchase, and now it's 30 years later.
So with Section 8, does the government pay the total rent, or do you still have to collect part of the rent from the tenant?
It's changed over the years. In the beginning, it was probably too good of a deal and a lot of wasted money. But, you know, fast forwarding to present date, rarely do they pay the entire portion of the rent. It's totally based on the resident's income. So if it's a $700 rental payment, rule of thumb, you'll get a check from the housing authority, and it just shows up in your bank account on the first of every month. And it will be, you know, probably 80% of the contract rent. And then the other 20% you'll have to collect from the tenant. If they are just completely destitute, have no income, sometimes mentally disabled, you know, whatnot, then they'll pay the whole thing. And it also depends on the size of the house. If it's an apartment, you know, single studio, you know, so a lot of factors, but there's usually a portion you'll have to collect from the tenant.
Do you have a lot of issues collecting the rent from the tenants, or do most of them pay you?
Well, there's always you know, issues, especially in that part of town. It's you know, your one you know, brother went to jail, and I got to go bail him out, or a car had to have brakes, or you know, so you kind of have to you collect your rent, but you also have to be realistic on the market that you're dealing with. And these are low-income housing folks, and you know, with not a lot of reserves. You know, I've got most of the tenants I have, I'd rather have them for neighbors than the neighbors I have. Mm-hmm. So hopefully my neighbors aren't listening to this, but so they're just regular nice folks. They just don't make a lot of money.
So over the last 30 years, you have accumulated a bunch of properties, and they're all kind of in that same area, right? Like that's kind of your specialty.
That is correct.
And so now you've kind of gotten to the point where you're also helping other people. Like you're a real estate broker, so you help other
That's
people
correct.
Find deals.
Well, and what had happened is after so now one house turned into three, and three turned into five, and you know, and on and on and on. And then I had other folks that owned houses that, well, gosh, yours are all rented, and I can't do anything. Can you just manage mine? So I researched on what I have to do to manage property for others, and it required being a real estate broker. So I got my license and opened up that side of the business as well. And primarily, and over the years, and really word of mouth, I would get calls from folks saying, "Hi, we're interested in investing in Kansas City. We understand that there's some wonderful deals there. I'm looking for either a package of single family homes, or if you could find me a sixplex, and away we go from there." So just kind of evolved over the years, and my business is primarily word of mouth.
So the numbers in Kansas City are just really, really amazing from what I understand,
yes.
Right? So what kind of rent ratios are you looking at in Kansas City?
Well, I mean, I'd give you here's a house we just finished for an investor that I've got in Colorado. He purchased the property from a credit union a few months back. It was a very large package of foreclosures. We just finished this house. It's a nice two-story, three-bedroom, bath and a half. He probably paid $7,000 for it, if memory serves. We went in and all of about 4 days and about $2,500 repainted it, shampooed the carpets professionally, some plumbing, miscellaneous honeydews. And before we were done, I had it rented to an older couple that I just happened to live down the street. And they were looking for a bigger house for grandkids and whatnot. And I've got it rented for $650 a month.
Wow. All right. So all in, he's with the repairs and the house, he's in at about $9,500, and you're renting it for $650 a month.
Yes.
That is absolutely incredible. Wow. Yeah. And so is that like just an incredible deal, or is that just the way the market is there?
Well, on that particular house, I mean, he bought a package of 45 houses. So, I mean, and some were really nice and some were kind of dumb. This was a really nice one. But his broker, me, we worked a good deal. As a rule, I mean, you're probably, there's no shortage of these things and you can get them completed, turnkey when they're completely finished. You don't have to get involved in the rehab. You can buy these things all day long for $17,000 to $20,000. I mean, completely finished, where somebody else has done the work, or, find something that, doesn't need, the major stuff, no new roof, no foundation, no major drywall, just, clean paint, and move on, probably 10 and maybe another three or four. So realistic story, maybe 15, you're in, and again, you're getting $650 because these are three bedroom, one bath houses.
Wow. I mean, that is just really mind blowing to me that first of all, that price range exists, that you could be all in on a house for under $10,000 and rent it for $650 a month. I mean, you've basically got your money back in a little bit over a year. So do these houses appreciate, or are these the kind of houses that are always going to be this cheap?
These are buy and holds. I mean, if you're looking to, do the traditional fix and flips, then you're kind of in the wrong market because, the number of buyers are limited. In this area. So, the people that I deal with, I mean, these are, they're buying them and they're just going to hang on to them for, for X amount of years. It's just part of their portfolio. Mm-hmm. So because the returns are amazing, they basically pay for themselves in worst case scenario, 18 months to 2 years.
Right.
They've paid for themselves. Basically they just get a check every month because once we're done, we're done.
Right.
Things always break, but going in, we've already taken care of the furnace and, the big ticket items are, it's just part of the rehab.
And your rent is guaranteed. As long as you get a Section 8 tenant, you're getting most of your rent money guaranteed every month, right?
Oh, right. Well, yeah, that's, but I would say anymore, I'd probably say 80% of my tenants are open market tenants where they're just regular, you know, I've got truck drivers and warehouse guys and a lot of city and county employees and, you know, and everything in between. And they're just, you know, regular working folks. And you know, if you're screening right, which is the, you know, the name of the game, screen. If you do your homework and you're careful on who you let in, you know, collections are, you know, they, you know, you do just fine. And, you know, things always happen. People lose their jobs, especially in this economy. But, you know, if you screen and you know who's going in and you stay on top of the property, then you do just fine.
And why do you think these renters aren't buyers? I mean, if you can buy a house for $10,000 or $20,000, why do you think these people are renting and not somehow figuring out a way to become a buyer?
Well, actually, that's what happened back in, was it 08, 09, whenever the bubble hit. Mm-hmm. I had a horrible time renting houses for just that reason. I mean, why would you rent from Larry for $600 a month when you could go to any mortgage company and they'd giving loans away?
Yeah.
And, you know, and you can get in. Well, and then the next thing you know, that's, you know, the housing bubble hit. All the subprime loans went sour, and now there's, I mean, probably half of the folks I talk to. I ask up front, any dings on your credit or anything I need to know about? They said, well, I had a foreclosure, you know, back in 2010, you know, for whatever reason, and that was it. So now they're, you know, it's a renter's market right now, and the availability of financing for, you know, for first time home buyers, it's out there, but credit requirements are more stringent. So, you know, and everyone asks if, you know, can I buy this house eventually? And, you know, and eventually maybe we can get an FHA loan for you, you know, depending on your credit score. So, sure. But it's just the availability of credit for first time home buyers, and their own situation, but it's definitely, a good rental market right now.
So these prices that everything is at right now, are these prices that have come down and just not recovered from the real estate crash, or is this just the price that these properties are at?
Oh gosh, in the same time frame back in 08, 09, I would buy houses and I would just pay, you know, the point where I just pay cash for them going in, and then I would refinance them. And the appraisals were coming in at 50, and for these particular houses, were coming in at $50,000 and $60,000 on a regular basis. I mean, I don't like borrowing money, so I just want the money I have in it. I just want it back so I can go do the next one.
Yeah.
But there's values now. If you went out and had the exact same house appraised, you know, now you'd be doing good for, you know, probably mid to upper 20s.
Okay.
So values, whether they were inflated, you know, probably, but they've come down quite a bit, and they just have not rebounded because you have such a huge glut of, in this particular area, you have such a huge glut of foreclosures, and there's so many properties available down there. It's just, and the number of residential resales just, you know, aren't there yet as far as, you know, for an appraiser to come back. And so the values are struggling to come back up. That's why it's, you know, if you're doing these, you kind of want to sit on them for a while because eventually they'll come back up.
I mean, right. Everything does. Right. I guess, you know, with anything else, I mean, appreciation, you really, you know, it's a dicey thing. You never know if things are going to appreciate, but with the cash flow, I mean, that's there. I mean, that's, you're going to get that rent check hopefully every month. It's, I guess, a lot more secure than appreciation.
Well, yeah. And really anything in Kansas City. Kansas City's not it's a pretty stable market, and the real steals have probably been gone for quite some time. That's why I mean, we do things all over town. I have some investors that they don't want anything to do with the urban core, so I find things elsewhere. But the cash flow and your returns are minimal. But you know, if that's what they want, then you know, it's fine with me.
Right, right.
But as far as on my end, that's the only area I go into, and I'm in the middle of renovating. I bought a 24-unit apartment building, that we're in the middle of finishing right now. One of my clients is buying a 32-unit apartment building, supposed to close next week. Total rehabs on both of them. So, you know, it's, again, the same, you know, the same returns, obviously with bigger properties, you know, come the bigger chunks of cash. So, but it's there. And I don't know, I just, they just cash flow real nice. And,
yeah.
And it's just, it's, you know, it works.
All right, Larry, it is time now for the lightning round. We got 5 questions in 60 seconds. Are you ready to go?
Let's go.
All right.
Now, the Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round. 5 rapid-fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
All right, the first question is, what's your favorite real estate book?
I like Larry Goins. Anything that he's done, I've been to a number of his seminars, so I like anything that he's done.
Okay. Number 2, the number one fear that I hear from people all the time on why they don't want to own a rental property is they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that a toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten that call?
The only calls I get are, obviously, if it's a fire or a police issue, calling me is going to do nothing. Call the police. Sometimes, but I'll be honest, in 30 years, middle of the night calls that I've had to deal with immediately, probably count on 2 hands.
Okay. Question number 3, if you had a property sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit, a spotty work history, and a spotty rental history, would you take a chance on them and rent to them or let the property sit?
Under absolutely no situation do you ever just throw somebody in just because they have a lot of cash or they have you just want to get it filled. That is a nightmare waiting to happen.
Okay. And number 4, if you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
Do your due diligence. Go through one rehab start to close or one investment start to close. Buy it. Either you or someone else fix it, get a management company or manage it yourself, get it rented and let it sit for a few months, collect the rent. And then if it works for you, do it again. But
okay.
A lot of guys go out and just buy 20 at one time and then they get in trouble.
Right. Okay. And the 5th and final question is, would you rent a property to your best friend?
Nope. Okay. I don't borrow money, rent or anything to friends or relatives.
Okay. Good advice. So, Larry, how can someone get in touch with you?
The easiest way is my office is 816-561-0744. And also you can go to my website, icrrealestateservices.com.
All right. Well, if you want to hear more episodes of the Rental Income Podcast, you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We're also at rentalincomepodcast.com. Well, thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this is the Rental Income Podcast.